Thanks for checking out the Church RC podcast today. If you're new to the church or you want to learn more about us, you can always check us out at thechurchrc.com. Or we would love for you to stay connected throughout your week and everywhere you go with the Church RC app, available for free anywhere you download apps. Now, here's Pastor Brian Sparks.
How is everybody doing today? Come on, can you do better than that? How's everybody doing today? Come on. So glad to have you here. We are excited about summer. We like summer, and we enjoy summer. And people say that churches have what they call a summer slump, but thank God we don't have that. In fact, most of the time we grow in the summer, and so it's good, and we're excited about God. And we just kicked off a brand new group semester this last week. So if you're not in a group, come on, get in a group. We got something for you. You can go on our website. You can check it out on our app, whichever one fits you best. And it'll tell you kind of what the groups are, because we believe in groups because they're important. They make a lot of difference. I had one of the guys that goes to my group. He came up to me and he missed last week. We started a little bit early because Father's Day, obviously, come on, is today. And so we started a week early, and he goes, "Man, I missed it. I hate missing group." And the truth is the reason why is because it's so good to do life with people, and that's why groups are important. And so we really encourage you to get plugged into a group. It's a great time to do it. It's only 6 week semester, so you can kind of check it out and see what it's like. So happy Father's Day. Come on. All the dads, if you're a dad in this house, raise your hand. Come on now, find a dad around you. Tell him happy Father's Day. Come on, tell him happy Father's Day. You look as good as you did in high school. Come on, tell them. Tell them. Dan Thompson was just telling me, my wife said when we got married, I looked like I stepped out of GQ, and now I look like I stepped out of DQ. So, come on, somebody. Hey, we got, if y'all don't know, which I don't know how you would, can I just brag on our church for a minute? They came up to me and they said, "I cannot believe how well your church reacted to changing the name of your church." I mean, they blew it up, they shared it. Right now it's got like 11,000 views on Facebook. Come on, y'all are awesome. This is why I love you. And we're better together, and so we're one church, if you don't know that. Different names, same purpose, same vision, same staff, same worship, same everything. We're still doing everything the same, but we're just changing our name because we are launching our second campus in Sulphur Springs, Texas. And the Church Roy City in Sulphur Springs, Texas does not make a lot of sense. And so we were like, hey, we came to a realization that we got to do something. We got to fix some things. We got to change some things. And so we're just making an adjustment. And now's the time. So here you go, one church. This is us. I'm excited about it. And I think it's going to be good. All right. You got a Bible? You can turn. I got a message for you today. Kind of dads and parents, come on, all you single moms out there, we love you. You're doing an amazing job. You're doing the job of both parents, and I think you're doing a great job. And so Proverbs 22 and verse 6, I've just got one little verse for you today, but I don't think it's appropriate to start any Father's Day message without some dad jokes. Did you hear about the restaurant on the moon? Great food, but no atmosphere. Come on. You want to hear a joke about paper? Never mind, it's terrible. It's terrible. Some of you are still like, what? It's terrible. It's terrible. Why the Scarecrow win an award? It was outstanding in its field. Come on, people. What do you call a man with a rubber toe? Roberto. Come on. All right, I'm going to spare you anymore. So, Proverbs 22, verse 6. I love dad jokes. They're like my favorite. They crack me up. And my dad didn't tell a lot of dad jokes, and so I feel like I was deprived a little bit. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says this: start children off the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. I'm going to read it one more time. Start children off the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Lord, I thank you for the word of God. I thank you that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. I thank you that every ear in here is receptive to hear your word. Lord, they didn't come to hear a word from man. They come to hear a word from you. So, Lord, I pray that you'd use me. Lord, help me to speak to the hearts and the lives of your people. Let every life be changed. Let no one leave the same. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, I was born in 1979. Come on, I'm a 70s child by just a little bit. And some of y'all are like, that's you're old. And how many 70s kids we got in here? Come on, raise your hand. Be proud about it. We're 70s kids. That's just the way it is. We just miss, we're not in the 80s. We were born in the 70s. And I was born in 79, and it's a completely different era then, right? I mean, my parents raised me completely differently than we raise our children today. A whole lot different. In those days, seatbelts were just a suggestion.
Come on.
I mean, they were there kind of like, okay, yeah, you're saying these are safe, whatever. But we don't really wear them, right? They're just a suggestion. Car seats? Nah. We don't need car seats, you know. I rode everywhere in my mom's lap. That's what I did, right? I just piled up mom's lap. She took me everywhere. We didn't need a car seat. Now, they have car seats up to like 10 years old. I'm not putting my 10-year-old son in a dang car seat, for crying out loud. He's practically shaving. Sorry, that came out of nowhere. It was just a different time. The only time that I was told to come in the summer was when it was dark. As soon as the street light came on, it was a signal for me to go home. And then if I didn't do that, my dad could whistle, and this whistle could be heard for 6 blocks. I mean, you could hear him. And here's the thing. As soon as I heard the whistle, I would drop the football and I would take off running. They'd be like, where are you going? I'm like, my dad's calling. Like, if I don't get home soon, I'm going to be in trouble. So I took off running. But my parents didn't care where I was at. They didn't care. I just lived my life, did my thing. I was my own man. My dad let me do some pretty crazy stuff. Now that I look back at it, I'm like, did you even love me? Were you trying to kill me? Come on, how many of you rode in the back of a pickup at highway speed? Come on. Not just in the neighborhood. I'm talking about full-on highway speed. Yeah, get in the back. I mean, you're barely crawling, and he's got you in the back of the pickup truck. Come on. I grew up with my dad cheering me on to jump off the 15-foot high dive. They don't have high dives anymore for a reason. Because they're deadly. They're dangerous, right? And so that was my dad. My dad used to let me go to a place called the cage. That right there should alone say, no, not going to let that happen. If your kids ask, can we go to the cage? Just say no. The cage was a giant, it was a massive thing that was about 50 foot high. And it held beneath it the gates that let out the water. When the lake got too full, it would let out the water for the lake when it was overflowing, and so they would open these big things. Well, it was 50 foot up. You climbed up it, and we would dive and jump off of this thing all summer long. And when I asked my dad, Dad, can I go to the cage? He's like, sure. Now, my parents and probably your parents were pretty lenient in those days, right? We let our kids do a lot of, they let us do a lot of things. They let us get by with a lot of things, but I want to tell you today that our parents gave us a gift. Because every one of us that grew up in that age, in that time frame, probably got the gift of failure. They gave us a gift of failure. And what they did is they let us try things. They let us go after things. They let us try to experience things. And even if we got hurt, it was okay. They knew that it would help us become better people in the long run. They knew that it would help us become better adults when we graduated and moved on with our lives. They gave us the gift of failure. While our parents were a little bit lenient, we have gone the other extreme. We become helicopter parents. Like everywhere our kids go, are you okay? Are you going to fall? Don't fall. Don't fall.
Come on.
No, you okay? No, you can't do that. You can't go this. You can't do this. You can't do that. No, you can't do this. We childproof everything. Come on. And even childproofing, they can open it better than you can. But we don't give our kids this option of, hey, you know what? You have this option to fail. And we're actually neglecting our kids. We're actually hurting them because they're graduating high school. This is an actual epidemic that's happening. Graduating high school and are afraid to put in an application for a job because they think they might not get it. And that would absolutely destroy their world. Huh? There are young people out there that refuse to get their driver's license. Because they think they might fail the test. Are you crazy? As soon as I turned 16, I had my driver's license. I was a bad driver, and I was proud of it. Come on. It didn't matter to me. I needed my freedom. I needed to be able to get out. But we have so protected our kids from failure. And the truth is that we are setting them up for failure in the long run. Because here's the deal, is not everybody in life gets the trophy for trying.
Come on.
Huh? Not every time you go out for the promotion, you don't always get it. You don't always get the girl. Huh? I know that's what the movies tell you, young people, but you don't always get the girl. Sometimes she's like, no. I don't think so. Oh my gosh, I can't even believe it. Life is full of chances. Life is full of risk.
Yeah, come on.
Life is full of, I don't know if this is going to work out. I'm not sure if this is going to happen. I don't know if I go for this, if it's really going to work out. But here's the thing. Just because it's full of I don't knows and uncertainties does not mean that you shouldn't try and you shouldn't raise up your kids. And whenever they fail and whenever they fall short, you pick them up, you dust them off and say, you know what? You can keep doing it. You can keep moving forward. You can keep going. Failure is not the end. Why are we so afraid of failure? I would rather fail and try than never try. I would rather at least try. I want my kids to at least go after things, go after their dreams, and support them along the way. I've said this before, man. I coached boys, and we were baseball, and we were coaching, and they said, hey, we've lost every game. They said, hey, you can come pick up your trophies. I said, trophy for what? Participation. I said, we know we participated. We lost every game. They don't need a trophy for that. Keep them and give them to some other loser. They don't need a trophy. For crying out loud, we give trophies for what? I grew up in a time when the winner got the trophy. And because I saw somebody get something that I wanted, it made me work for what I wanted. It made me go after it. It made me practice in my backyard, not expecting just to get a trophy at the end of my try. We got to change how we're doing some things because we want to raise kids that are impacting the world. And if their world crumbles, when they don't get a job? If their whole world goes to shambles, if they get told no, man, life is going to be miserable. Here's the world standard of a good parent. The world standard of a good parent today is someone who raises well-rounded, well-educated, and happy kids. Now, I'll tell you this. When I read that standard, I thought, that's pretty good. I mean, well-rounded, well-educated, happy kids. That's a good thing, I think. But then I kind of started to really think about it and dive into it a little more, because here's the thing, is the world isn't really looking for well-rounded people. Companies are not trying to hire accountants who can clean the offices, answer the phone, sell the product, load the product in the truck, deliver the product, come back to the office, and make sure everything is good with the money. They're not looking for that. When they're hiring an accountant, they're looking for a person that can do one thing, and that's to be a really good accountant. Because I don't need somebody who can do everything. I need somebody who can do a few things really well. And I don't want my kids to be, I can do everything in the world. I can handle it all. I can go after everything. And I'm sort of kind of good at a few things and sort of kind of good at other things. No, the truth is that I want them to focus and to, their attention and say, you know what? I want to be great at one thing. I want to be great at two things. I want to be a person who can actually make an impact on the world because I know what I'm good at. Know what I'm good at. I don't need well-rounded, well-educated. That's great. I love education. Kids, stay in school. Well, being well-educated is a good thing. But here's the deal, is that you can have more degrees than a thermometer and be completely nuts. I've met people with more doctorates than I can even count. I can't even spell doctorate. And they've got so many of them. It's amazing that they're going, and they are crazy. I know people that have degrees, bachelor's and master's degrees, living at home in their mom's basement playing Xbox, eating Cheetos, and trying to get the orange dust off their fingers. Well-educated is a great thing, and I want my children to experience that, and I want to push them into education, but more important for me is for them to actually be productive. If I have a well-educated kid that doesn't have any ambition or any drive, then what have I achieved in life? I want them to be productive and to say, you know what? I want to be well-educated because there's a lot of things that I want to accomplish and a lot of things that I want to do. Hard work is important for kids. Come on. I grew up hauling hay. And I lived to tell a day, tell the tale. I grew up working. And now then we try to protect our kids from work. Come home, it's just easier to clean the house. Let them be slobs. Happy. I want my kids to be happy, but here's the thing. Happy is great, but happy is not a goal. If happy is the goal, then they're going to be a miserable a lot. The truth is that happy is an, I'm sorry, let me say this. Happiness is based on external circumstances. But joy is based on an internal promise. Happiness and joy are two completely different things. They're on completely different ends of the spectrum. You got to know that happiness and joy are different. If happy is all I'm going for, then there's going to be times their life is going to look like a roller coaster. It's up one day, it's down the next. It's up one day, it's down the next. But here's the thing, is that if I can teach my kids that happiness is not the goal, happiness is a byproduct of you saying, I have found my purpose in life. I know that I'm fulfilling my calling. I know that I'm doing what I'm called to do on this earth. I whatever that is, whether it's pastoring or being a doctor or being a nurse or mowing yards, it doesn't matter what it is. If you say, you know what, I know that I'm fulfilling this, then I know that they'll have something much greater than happiness. They'll have joy. They'll have joy. And even on the day, see, here's the thing, is that joy knows this, that even when it's hard, even when it's difficult, even when things aren't going my way, sorrow may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Even though my job is being really hard and being really difficult right now, I know that I'm doing what I'm called to do and I'm fulfilling my purpose on this life, on this earth. So I'm going to keep moving forward. I'm going to keep pushing through because I know that joy will come on the other side of whatever adversity I'm facing. I want kids that fulfill a purpose. I want kids that actually go after what God has called them to do. So Crystal and I, we decided, you know what, we're going to set a standard. We're going to, what do we want our kids to do? Because you need to have a goal for your family. We have a vision and a mission for this church. And you should have a vision and a mission for yourself and a vision and a mission for your family. I think it's so important. So we set a goal. What do we want our kids to do? Because it can be overwhelming, yeah. Right? I mean, it can be extremely overwhelming. So what do I want my kids to do? This is what we want. We want our kids to love us. Now, let me just say this real quick. Love us does not mean I'm their best friend all the time. Love us doesn't mean that I don't disappoint them. Love us does not mean that they don't get mad at me. Love us doesn't mean that I'm all letting them do whatever they want. I am not their best friend. I am their parent. Okay? I want them to love us. I want them to love God. And I want them to love the local church. Those are the three things. I'm like, I can do three things. I can't do 30, but I can do three. Like, what? I need to focus my efforts. So this is what I want. I want them to love us. I want them to love God, and I want them to love the local church. And all of that could seem extremely overwhelming at times because it's difficult. All you people out there that don't have kids and you're married, enjoy it. Enjoy it. Whenever married couples that don't have kids say, going on a date night, I'm like, every night's date night. Come on. Really, people? Really? A lady one time posted, she's like, she didn't have kids and they were newly married. And she's like, oh, my husband's so sweet, he let me sleep in this morning. I'm like, what did he do, not clang some dishes? It's when you got kids and you're in the battle. You got eye makeup on and you're trying to guard them from mommy. That's when it's hard, right? Come on. Like, mommy's trying to sleep. No, you can't do it. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Seems complicated. It seems difficult because the truth is that we're trying to get our kids dressed into school on time. We're trying to get to work on time. We're trying to get them to soccer practice. We're trying to help their friends do different things. Like we're being pulled and stretched in so many different directions. Then we get home and we got to cook dinner. We got to get them ready for bed. And then finally we get to sit down and rest. And where's the time? But raising godly kids isn't as difficult as we make it. It's not as hard as we think. I'm going to give you a few practical tips. Dads, you're so important in this. Are you ready? Set a standard in your homes. Set a standard in your homes. We need to have a standard in our homes, and it doesn't matter what's going on around us, that we say, you know what, this is the standard, and this is what it's going to be. Because here's the thing, is whatever we expose our kids to today will have a huge impact on who they become tomorrow. So we have a standard in our home. This is what we do. This is not what we... My dad's standard, man, he was strict. And now I'm like, I'm a little bit more lenient about a few things, but he was strict. If he found a secular tape, because we had tapes in those days, if he found a secular tape, he loved to break them and pull all the stuff out and say, you will only worship Jesus in the name of Jesus. Like, that's the way he was. I let my kids get by with some of this. But here's the thing. is that in the world, our kids are naturally going to be exposed to things. They're naturally going to have peer pressure. They're naturally going to see some things that they shouldn't see, some explicit material. They're naturally going to have opportunities to do things that they know that they shouldn't do. All of these influences are happening. And the thing is that we cannot keep our kids locked in a bubble. We can't keep them protected, right? They have to live in the world, and they have to learn to be Christians in a world who is saying all of these things are normal. All of these things are fine. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it, so you should too. And all of these pressures are coming in, and we can't protect them. But our job is to protect our home, to set a standard in our home, to say, you know what, this is what we do and this is what we don't do. And I'll give you a couple of practical examples. You people that have kids, you need to have some guards on your internet. Guard your internet. Put some passwords on your internet. Guard your TV and your movie channels. Guard them. Well, my little Johnny would never do that. Yes, he would. He's 13. He's got enough testosterone to jumpstart a dead elephant. And you probably need to protect your husband, too. We've got to protect our environment. We've got to protect our homes. We've got to keep our homes safe. Make them a house where we say, you know what? The standard out there is different than the standard in here. The world says this is all normal, but I say this is not normal. This is the way that we do. When we got our first house, or when we got this last house that we bought, it had a swimming pool. I love swimming pools. They're awesome. They're amazing. I was pumped about it. My kids were pumped about it. We were swimming. We were having a good time. Everything was going really well. And then one morning, I got up to go look at the swimming pool and see its beauty and realize that it had turned green overnight. It's not supposed to be green. So I went over and I turned the filter on, thinking, well, we'll just filter out the gunk. So I turn the filter on and I go to scrubbing, trying to figure out what in the world is going on. Finally, I'm not making any progress. The pool is just as green after I've scrubbed it. So I call a pool guy. He said, the problem isn't scrubbing. The problem isn't trying to get it clean. The problem is with your pH. Your pH balance is off. And as long as your pH balance is off, it will always be green. There's nothing you can do to change that. Here's the thing, is that I realized in that moment that I am responsible for keeping the right pH in my pool. Keeping the right balance in my pool. I am not responsible for John's pool. He can have it as green as he wants to have it. I don't care. But I am responsible for the balance in my own personal pool. I can't protect everybody. I can't change the world. But I can change the environment in my home. I can make sure that I have the right balance. I can make sure that my kids are being raised in a godly environment. I can make sure that they're being protected from things that they shouldn't be exposed to at an early age. That's all it is. Is setting a standard in your home and saying, this is the standard in our home. I don't care what your friends are doing. This is the standard in our home. The second thing you need to do is you need to show them your personal relationship with Jesus. Show them your personal relationship with Jesus. Don't make this complicated. Make it practical. Don't make it complicated. Make it practical. You know, if you don't have kids in here and you're married, I'm going to just let you know something really quickly, because you need to know this. That even when you think that your kids are not paying attention, they're paying attention. So when you think, I can give that person that cut me off this inappropriate gesture out the window, and my kids aren't paying attention, they're paying attention. And guess what? They can do it too. So what they do, and they won't let you know they can do it right away. They like to wait till you get to the pastor. And then you walk up to the pastor and she goes, boom. And you go, where did they learn that? Their dad. You always blame everything on dad. But here's the deal. Is it that they're always listening. They're always paying attention. They're always taking note. They're always saying, you know, what is mom and dad doing? Here's the thing, is that your kids are watching what you're doing way more than they're listening to what you're telling them to do. They're watching what you're doing way more than they're listening to what you're telling them to do. That means this, that dads, they see you reading your Bible. Dads, they see you praying. Dads, they see how you treat your mom and their mom. Dads, they see it. Moms, they see it. They see this personal relationship with Jesus. They see it unfolding before their eyes. And even though you don't know that they're paying attention, they're paying attention. You know, I've never told my kids one time to read their Bible. But both of them read their Bible regularly because they saw me do it, because they saw Crystal do it. And they see the fruit in your life and they go, something is different. It's just a personal relationship with Jesus. It's not religion. My relationship with Jesus doesn't just happen on Sundays. It happens every day. Something that I walk out. Dads, all you dads that are here, they saw today that on your day you brought your kids to church. On your day you loaded up and you brought them to church. They see it. They're watching you walk this out. Show them your personal relationship with Jesus. The last thing, I'm done. I'm going to end early today, y'all. Don't cross your, it's probably not going to happen, but let them experience the presence of God. Oh, I'm sorry, I got two more. Let them experience the presence of God. Every one of you are doing this right now. You're bringing your kids to church. You're having them involved. You've got them, and what they are is every week we try to create an atmosphere for people to encounter Jesus. So what they're doing is right now they're experiencing the presence of God. Make sure that your kids are getting a chance to experience God's presence. Here's the deal, is my kids love church. My kids love church. I will have them come home on a Saturday night from hanging out with a friend because they find out that their friend's not going to our church, and so they'll come home because they want to be in the church. They want to be here at one church. They want to be involved. They want to be a part of it. They love going to church. But here's the other thing, is that I've never given them the option. I've never asked them once, do y'all feel like going to church today? Nope. I don't ask them if they feel like going to school today. Why would I ask them, do you feel like going to church today? No, it's Sunday. This is what we do. It's Sunday. I'm a Christian. I'm going to go and I'm going to be on the front row lifting my hands and singing praise to God for getting me through another week and prepare myself for the week that's coming. It's Sunday. This is what we do. I need the Word of God so that my faith grows week after week after week because I don't know what battle is coming the next week. Sunday, this is what we do. I love being a part of people coming together and encouraging one another, saying, you're going to do this. You're going to make this. Keep going. Don't quit. Give up. I need this. If I wasn't a pastor, I would be in church. Come on. Sunday is what I do. Craig Groeschel says this. I love this quote. If you overrule church for other things, but you never overrule other things for church, you're sending your kids a message. Now, that one stings, so if you don't like it, email him, not me. He's the one that said it. It's true, but he said it. If you overrule church for other things, but you never overrule other things for church, you're sending your kids a message. Church, Sunday, that's what we do. I love being in the house of God. I love being in God's presence. Last thing, and I'm done. Now I'm really done. Let them be used by God. All you parents out there, you need to know something. That the calling of God and the purpose of God isn't just for your life. It's for your kids too. It's for your young people. They have a gift. They have a talent. They have ability that God wants to begin to use if we'll just let him use it. We want to encourage them to begin to develop and to use their gift to help and serve others. I love this. I've got a few pictures up here. Sophie Robles, do we have this picture, guys? Sophie Robles serves faithfully in our kids' area. She shows up early when other kids are sleeping, when other young people her age are sleeping. She shows up faithfully and loves on kids because she knows that I have a purpose and I have a calling and I have something that God wants me to do. Rance, come on, show Rance. Rance, her brother, he runs production. He has a hard job. He's right there, right back there right now. He's working to make me look good. I have a purpose. I have a calling. This is what I do. We got Dacia Alexander. Come on. Where's she at? She serves faithfully in our hospitality. She always has a smile on her face, is working hard to make sure you get to stuff your face with donuts and coffee every week. Dacia is doing a good job. Come on. There's Ashley. Come on. Where's Ashley? Ashley Fredericks. Come on. Working in our preschool, raising up world changers, raising up kids that love God, showing them and leading them by example. Come on, there's Reagan. Come on, where's Reagan Higgins? Reagan Higgins works in our hospitality. He serves faithfully. He's a young man that's saying, you know what? I know that I have a call and I have a purpose on my life, and I could keep going and going and going because we have 44 young people that serve on our dream team on a regular basis. Why? Because we're not raising up the church of tomorrow. We're raising up the church of today. And I want every young person in here to know you got a call. You have ability. God has a plan for your life. It's bigger than what you think. It's bigger than what you realize. You never know the impact that you make on people when you choose to serve others. I love it. I love the young people say, you know what? I got a call. This is church. This is what I'm a part of. It's more than just a relationship with Jesus. It's pointing others to Jesus. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Parents, I just want to encourage you. Every person in here, you're probably doing all of these things. I want to encourage you, keep doing it. You don't know the difference you're making. You don't see the results right now, but you'll see them. Just keep doing it. Keep setting the standard in your home. No, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. This is what we're going to do. This is who we are. This is what God has called us to. We're going to keep setting the standard in our homes. We're going to keep showing our kids our personal walk with Jesus. We're not making it complicated. We're making it practical. We're just walking it out day by day. We're not perfect. We mess up regularly. But I still love Jesus, and Jesus still loves me. We're getting them into God's presence because lives are changed in his presence. We're telling them and we're letting them be used by God. Lord, I thank you for every parent in this place. Lord, I thank you for every dad in this place that led by example, that brought their family to church. Because this is Sunday, this is what we do. God, I applaud them, I celebrate them. Lord, I pray that everyone, moms and dads, out there right now would realize that they're making a difference in their kid's life. God, that they wouldn't grow weary in well-doing, but God, they would keep staying the course. God, that they would keep moving forward, that they would keep pushing ahead. Even when they want to quit, even when they want to throw in the towel, they just keep putting one foot in front of the other. Keep doing what God, you've told them to do, Lord. We thank you for it. We celebrate godly parents.
At the Church RC, we aim to help you encounter Jesus. If this ministry has blessed you in any way and you would like to contribute financially, you can go to thechurchrc.com/giving. If you have a story to share about how God is moving in your life, send us an email at amen@thechurchrc.com. Thanks and have a great week.